Welcome to the Retail Gazette Unpacked podcast. I am your host, Kieran Howells. AI, it's one of those buzz terms, isn't it, that we hear about an awful lot. But what does it actually mean for you and your customer service? Is the future of customer service AI-based? This is the subject that we'll be getting into today through discussing the partnership between Monsoon Accessorize, a business which is no stranger to the British High Street, and Zendesk, a company that offers stronger relationships through AI-powered support experiences. With my guest today, Zara Gentles, we'll be talking through what AI really means for customer service and essentially whether it's this big game changer that people believe it will be. It's going to be an incredible conversation. Zara is just fantastic and so eloquent, and I really very much hope you enjoy. Let's dive straight into the chat now.
Hi, I'm Zara Gentles, and I'm the Customer Engagement Manager from Monsoon Accessorize, and I am responsible for our customer service propositions, both for our stores and online as well.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for being with me today in boiling hot London.
A little bit hot.
So I want to first delve into your career a little bit. You've had a pretty amazing career, very much centred for quite a while now around Monsoon Accessorize. So can you tell us a bit about the journey that you've been on and also how your understanding of customer experience has kind of evolved over that time?
I can, yes. I've actually been with Monsoon Accessorize for 25 years. I am now in my 26th year, come this October. I started as a Saturday girl. I don't know if there still are Saturday girls out there, but that was my role at the time in one of our stores. So I've kind of worked my way up through the years, initially up north, and then I moved down to London. Things changed, met my husband, and then moved into head office and then customer services, which was a very small team at the time. It was only two of us, mainly phone calls. We had a very young website at that point, so it was mainly fielding like store customers, queries they had, issues they had, and then it's just evolved from there. So we went from two agents. We then obviously evolved the website. We had a telephone ordering service. And the team just got bigger and bigger, and I moved up the ranks as it got bigger and kind of stayed on board. So, so that's kind of me in a nutshell at the moment.
Incredible, incredible. And obviously, as you say, so much has changed in that time, but also you've seen different dynamics within the business. You've seen how different areas operate.
Yes.
So, yeah, what are the big fundamentals in, as things have got more nuanced and complex, how your perspective on, you know, customer experience has changed?
I think from when I started, it was very much a single view of the customer. I mean, like I say, the website was very, very new. I think we actually launched it when I was in my second year with the company. So there was only one touch point. And over the years, obviously, it has just got bigger and bigger. Customer expectations has changed wildly from, obviously, in-store purchases, where customers came in, the new stock was there, to now when they're ordering, they have this expectation of next day delivery, of click and collect, of there's that instant service that they're wanting, and also more 24-hour service. Like previously, if the shop was shut, shop was shut, whereas now it is a 24/7 service. Customers can shop all the time, and there's that expectation for that service to be there, for agents to be available to assist with any queries that they have, really. So it's changed hugely, and like I say, there's so many touch points now for customers that it's just, as a company, as a retailer, and any organization, kind of have to sort of be there and be available and kind of, yeah, just offer that seamless experience for the customer. So whatever channel they're shopping, whatever channel they're contacting you through, it has to be a consistent, seamless service. And there is that expectation, and it's a high expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll definitely dig a bit further into that kind of seamless concept in a bit. But I wanted to ask, obviously, along with the expectations of customers getting more complex. Mm-hmm. Actually, some of the solutions that we have also got more complex as well, and potentially offered some 24-hour solutions to 24-hour problems.
Yes.
So, AI, obviously, is the big one. It's the buzzword of our time. But, you know, when you actually cut through that hype and focus on what's actually useful, is it, you know, is it a significant game changer to customer experience?
Yes, definitely. If used properly and with the right understanding of it. I think, like you say, AI is so huge. It's such a massive buzzword. And everyone's saying AI, AI, AI. It's then understanding what it is and what's going to work for you. And I think it can be incredibly overwhelming. It still is for me, and we've only just scratched the surface of it in Monsoon Accessorize. So it is huge, and it's almost taking your time to step back and look at what is needed, and what is needed both for your team as well as for your customer as well. And I think there's so many other constraints out there. There's obviously budget, there's legacy systems, and it's trying to get everything to work and getting people on board to understand what it is, how it's going to work, and what you're going to get in return for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, do you think that actually following that long journey that you've been on, it's easier to be someone customer-facing, or do you think that actually back before all of these solutions existed, it was easier to kind of represent the company that you represent?
I think with the complexities, I think there's that risk and probably that fear of losing that human touch. Mm. And obviously when you're in store and it's face-to-face, you know, that you see people's characters, and talking to someone is completely different to, say, an AI chatbot. Mm. So I think that's kind of where you have to sort of make that balance. It's kind of like you need to make sure you don't lose that human touch. The customer understands that, you know, if they are going to contact us out of hours, it may not necessarily be a person that's responding to them. Mm. And I think that's kind of getting more out there. I think people think about that more nowadays than they would have done even just a few years ago, when we had a very basic chatbot, which customers got very confused about at times. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there is the complexity out there. I think it's also, like I say, the businesses themselves, our organisations, our retailers, it's the systems we've got in place. And it's, you know, a lot of retailers out there have probably got, like I said, legacy systems, or they've input something like 5-10 years ago, and you've added on, and it may not necessarily be suitable for what you want to move on with AI. So there's a lot of, you know, constraints. There's a lot of, you know, I'd say areas that has to be explored, has to be evolved. And like I say, there has to be an open mind within the business, within all your sort of direct reports and all those who make the decisions as to what you can sort of evolve and put out there for your customers and for the agents as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it really is a two-sided equation, isn't it? Because, you know, employee experience and customer experience are so intertwined. You talked there about, if you're dealing with antiquated systems, which when you're building things, they do naturally evolve and, you know, like
a little add-ons.
Exactly. You know, you look at a 500-year-old mansion and it's a complete mess of different parts that have been added on over time, isn't it, compared to a new build. So, you know, do you think that actually it does take being really bold and just wiping the slate clean and looking at, there's such an evolution in the tech that's available to us that it you need to go right back to the drawing board in order to be kind of ready to take on the kind of change and evolution that's coming from here on in?
I believe what you need to do is you do have to start at the beginning, and you have to look at what it is you're trying to solve, what it is that you want AI to do for you. And I think that's where you need to see, with what systems you've got in place, what can it do? Mm. If not, you know, how are you going to add those on? How are you going to get people on board to invest in this software, in this system, this, you know, this great, you know, service, seamless service we want to offer our customers? So I do think you have to sort of, like I said, step back and then look at what it is you're wanting and how you want that to help the customer, and I said, and I always keep saying it, and the agents as well, that, like you say, it's a two-way thing. So I do think stepping back and looking at the technology you've got and how you can get from the, from basically A to B.
Mm-hmm. And let's delve into that a bit more then, because I mean there is a bit of an elephant in the room with AI, and I think it's it's mainly people who don't. You know, it's very easy for people like me to be in an echo chamber talking about AI, and we're constantly talking about how it's going to make things more efficient and everything. But actually, those who aren't constantly in those conversations, there is a scary element to it as well. They're not just thinking, oh, fantastic, this is going to make my job so much easier. They're thinking, is this going to replace me at some point? Yeah. So is it pure opportunity? Is there actually a conversation to be had with people about how they integrate with AI and to gain the advocacy there?
Yes.
You know, what does that process look like?
The way we did it, so I have an outsourced customer service team. I work alongside Ascensor, so I do have a very small team of 12 agents. The way we did it, we actually went out to the agents and we were very transparent, and I do recommend being very transparent with your teams, with your staff, to say this is what we're looking at bringing in, because there is that fear. There is that fear that, you know, robots are going to take over our jobs and, you know, computers are going to answer everything. And it's not the case. It really isn't. I don't feel we can ever remove that human touch. You know, customers and, you know, everyone needs to have that human touch at times. Everyone needs to speak to someone, or, you know, they have to have that personalized service as well. So we started by actually going out to our agents to say, this is what we're looking at. And it's explaining to them how it's going to make their job more efficient, how it's going to make it easier for them, and how it's going to almost give them the opportunity to then assist with more complicated queries and to have that time with customers to deal with those, you know, customers that come through, and, you know, you have to find, I don't know, 12 bridesmaids dresses within a week for a wedding, for some, you know, because a parcel's gone missing. So it's trying to make our agents aware that they're going to be part of this process. They're going to help us develop this process. We need their feedback. You know, we could implement and say, you know, we want to put this in and put that in, and the agents can turn around and go, but how's that going to help us? That's not what we're wanting. You know, so definitely you have to get your team's feedback on it, you know, and just say to them, you know, how do you see it working? How do you see it working for you and helping you in your role? I think that's so important. And we did that with our team, and thankfully I've got a great team. I've got some agents who've worked since we first joined Ascensos, which was in 2017. So it's great to have such long-standing team members.
Yeah.
And getting them on board and making them feel involved, make them feel they were part of that process and part of that development. And it also gives them that bit of reassurance of, look, this is what we're going to do, this is how it's going to help you, we need your feedback, you know, and then naturally we will move on to see what we can do to make your job and life easier, really.
And is it the kind of thing where a recent roundtable, someone said to me that they've been able to knock on the head 50% of queries because it's simple, it's where is my parcel, things like that, you know, AI can really easily handle. And as you say, then the other 50% is potentially the more complex stuff that needs a human being. Is that kind of your attitude as well, or what's the ratio for you?
I would agree with that. So we implemented a chatbot on Zendesk for WhatsApp. We got a lot of our common queries came through WhatsApp because it's so easy for customers. Nearly everyone has that on their phone at their fingertips. So we actually implemented an AI chatbot on WhatsApp, and we did see during our peak season a 27% deflection. Wow. So that was a huge volume of queries that our agents didn't even need to touch. They didn't need to like close it, solve it off, nothing like that. And I felt over Christmas, which was our last sort of big peak period, our agents really saw the benefit of that, and they saw how by getting rid of nearly 30% of those common queries, they could then work on the other queries. They found that there wasn't that immense pressure to you know, get tickets closed down. To just, I think you get through a stage, and probably every contact center's been in that stage where you feel like you're just banging out contacts, you're just banging out answers just to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And that's not fair for the customer, and it's not that fulfilling for the agent. So our agents did feel post peak, when we asked them how they felt the peak period went, that it just eased that pressure off them. a little bit. And also it made customers so much more happier because they were getting quicker resolutions and they were getting it 24/7 as well. And most of them were the common, you know, where's my refund? Mm-hmm. How do I return? Where's my order?
Yeah, yeah.
So just trying to get rid of those queries, really the agents did see the benefit of it and the wider business as well.
Yeah. And then we talked a tiny bit before about the concept of brand voice. I'm interested in that complexity. You have a strong brand voice.
Yes.
Which is a lovely asset to have.
Yeah.
But it also means that you have to be really on brand mm-hmm. in all interactions, I guess. So could you like tell me about what it's like to implement AI and be confident that it's going to kind of live up to your brand voice?
Yes, we were quite fortunate. We actually brought in our copywriters as well. So when we worked through our chatbot flow, we brought them on board as well as, our agents on board to make sure it wasn't just a robotic sentence. We wanted to make sure that our tone of voice still came through those responses. And we also felt that we wanted not only to have that sort of like personalised, we hope it's a nice, kind, friendly voice, but also allow the customer to understand that if they needed an actual physical agent, that that was easy enough to contact. They could easily just request that. And that was part of our whole flow. And like I said, we worked right back to see we can do a list of all our most common queries and did a full process flow of every answer we could have got, every sort of response we could have given. And like I say, we brought on one of our website copywriters, who's Caroline, who was lovely, and she helped with some of the wording as well as the agents as well. And I think just trying to maintain that tone of voice in the responses and not just a standardized robotic, you know, your order will be with you within 2-3 days. Mm. It was more, you know, we wanted to develop it a bit more, give them options of where they could go to our website, give them links to our help centres as well, and then the option of if they weren't satisfied with that response, they could reach through to one of our agents.
Mm. And I love the point that you made there as well about, you know, you make it clear that this is a representation of the brand, mm-hmm. this is a tool that can really help people. It's going to, you know, as a customer, I think we're past the point where you do get kind of really cheesy robotic answers and you type in talk to person 20 times and it doesn't understand what you're talking about. It's, we are now at an age where AI can really, really be an, you know, a helpful solution, and people are kind of aware of that. But also you make it clear that there is always someone that you can speak yes. to as well if they need to. Do you think that that's kind of an important distinction? Because you know that some people will be wondering, am I supposed to position this assistant as a real assistant or not? You know,
yes,
what's your kind of take on that?
I believe also you need to understand not every customer is contacting you that tech aware, or you know, and it can be really scary. I'm sure, you know, in 20-30 years time there's probably gonna be new tech that's probably gonna scare me and be like, how does that work? You know, when you see children now on their iPads with all their apps and whatever they're doing, I don't even know what they're doing. So I think it is just making those customers, and you know, and customers who've got a really complicated query, that we are available, and you know, we're still there. We're not just going to be a robot for you. You know, we're going to make sure that we can assist you as best as possible. But if you just want a quick response, you just want to, you know, quickly, where's my order, or how do I return this, how, you know, how do I do that, here's the information, and you can sort of kind of self-serve yourself. And most people want that. Everyone's busy, so a lot of people just want a very quick answer, really. But like I say, I do feel sometimes you just got to be aware there are customers out there, and there are people out there, you know, and all probably in all of us, we don't know every tech solution, we don't know how everything works. So it's just being mindful of that as well, and just again, just be present so you can assist those customers.
Yeah, definitely. Incredible. So what about the plans to keep evolving and improving? I mean, as you say, 30 years time, I have no idea what
what we'll be doing.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Probably will be kind of terrifying to me and you. But what are your plans to basically ensure that you're still improving this technology and improving the employee experience along with it?
With us, it's keeping the agents involved.
Yeah.
This is how we've done it. We only really launched our AI solution back in October last year. Mm. So we are still very new. We are still learning. And like I say, it's keeping the agents involved. We have regular catch-ups with them. We get them to, you know, keep checking those flows, keep checking those responses. You know, are they right? Have they had, you know, feedback from customers say that's not answering my question? So I think it's constantly evolving that. And what we also found within our team is we basically had what we call him a Zendesk expert. So Simon, who's our tech expert, he knows sort of what's coming on, you know, what's coming up, what's being released, and he's this sort of the go-to guy who will have a look at what's coming out there. What works for us? Is it, you know, is it something that he should bring to our attention that would work for us? So I do feel sometimes you've really got to get some kind of tech person involved or someone who knows AI, because I mean, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm told things I'm like,
yeah, you know, it's wizardry.
What is that? You know, when we first started, I was like, how's that going to work? Yeah. You know, and everyone's like that. And it is so overwhelming at times. So yeah. I do feel, don't try and take it all on yourself. Try and get someone out there who knows what it is, who knows how to implement it, and who knows what's going to work for you. You know, like I said, we're a very small team. We don't need all the, you know, bells and whistles, because we probably don't need that, you know. So I always try and say, to anyone who's asked me, is just try and get an expert out there who can just take the bit of that fear away, and they can look into it and then work with you as well. And we're very fortunate we have someone like that.
Yeah, fantastic. And then in terms of your relationship with your solutions provider, going a bit off course here, but I at a roundtable recently, we had a representative from a large high street retailer, not UK based. And they had spent the last 7 years trying to create an AI pricing tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had, you know, taken meetings with a few people, a few solutions providers. And then, of course, someone internally had just gone, we can do that. And what followed was, a 7-year journey with 3 consultancy companies coming in. Untold money.
I was going to say, that budget must have been blown.
Massively.
From the start.
So I'm interested in the long and short of it is, and I do genuinely always say this to people, finding the right partner actually is like half the battle.
Yes.
What was really important to you when you were finding a solutions provider to work with, and what kind of helping hand did they give you along the way as well?
I felt with them, they took a lot of the stress away. They were able to sort of explain it very clearly and almost childlike, because sometimes you need that. I don't know all the techie jargon, I felt working with them, they were able to really simplify it, break it down, and basically say, you need that, but you don't need that.
Right.
You know, this might work. You know, they were really good at putting forward the considerations, and they understood, obviously, budgets. Many retailers, many businesses at the moment, we don't have the massive budgets like we used to.
Yeah.
So we do have to be, you know, very conscious of that. And we have to, you know, make sure if we are going to ask for a good few £1,000s, that it's going to be something that is definitely going to work for us. So having someone on board that can talk you through that, who can do all that hard work, who can do all the sort of the negotiations for you, who can bullet point what's, you know, why this is going to be really good for you, can lay out your returns of investments, it takes a huge pressure off yourself, especially if it's not your area of expertise, which AI isn't really. Obviously, we've implemented it, but it's not what I actually work in. I've got a great team and I'm hugely thankful for them, but I definitely recommend just getting that someone who can just take that stress away. And then they're constantly looking as well. They're involved in the industry. That's what they do. So they can see what's coming up. They can see if there's anything new that, you know, they can just bring to light and just say, like, this is coming, this might work. And, you know, and then you can start sort of leading in that field a little bit. I mean, within our business, my department, my customer service department, is the only department that has implemented AI. So we haven't implemented it anywhere else in the business yet. Ideally, it'd be great to have like this seamless omni-channel between ourselves and stores and, you know, our stock systems, but that's way down the line. So it's only really recently I've been speaking to our own IT director to say, this is what we've been doing and how could this work for the wider business as well, and getting him on board.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's become very interested. But like I say, at the moment, it is just my area that is working with AI within Monsoon Accessorize.
Yeah, fantastic. And so that communication piece, is that kind of a constant? Are you kind of chatting to Zendesk all the time about what's coming up?
Yeah. We have weekly catch-ups. I have a great relationship with my operations manager over there, May. She is absolutely brilliant. And usually between her and Simon, they're like a force to be reckoned with. they'll jump on a call, or I'll get an email, go, Simon wants to join the call next week. And I'm like, oh gosh, what now? What's he bringing now?
Yeah.
Definitely I have a great relationship with them. And I think that, again, that makes it so much easier. And we discuss it every week. We have monthly business reviews, and I bring relevant directors and that on board, so they can see what we're doing. We actually have one next week, and that is a big AI piece of what we want to do moving forward. So that hopefully is going to go down quite well within the business. Fingers crossed. I definitely have to have a really good relationship and be open minded and also be willing to be honest with each other and transparent. If you don't feel it's something just yet, say that, and just say maybe not for now, but let's. Yeah. Not dismiss it, let's just park it, and then we can come back to it when we feel it's going to be better for ourselves and for the business.
Yeah, that is fantastic advice, because with emerging technology, everyone always feels like you're behind.
Yeah.
That's the natural instinct, isn't it? I have to know everything about this thing. I need to be utilizing it in every way, or I'm behind everyone else. Yeah. But actually, that every organization will have a pace that works for them.
Yes.
And if you try and go too fast, like too soon, you're just going to make a mess, aren't you?
Yes, because you're going to try and implement everything at the same time. You need to put some kind of strategy in place. You need to break it down and, like I say, bullet point what it is you're looking for. How is it going to help your business? You can't really go in full force. Mm. And I always say, maybe start small. We've started very small. We've started with an AI chat on WhatsApp and agent assist on email. So really, really small at the moment. And it's then giving it time to implement it and let it develop. Mm. I think there's always that fear that you've put something in place and it's like, oh, that's great, it's working great, it's working really well, we're seeing the results of that, right, what next, let's get something in next. And with something like AI, especially with retail, because you go through ebbs and flows with peak, off peak, sales, no sales, you've got to let it run its course, you've got to let it build the data behind, and that's not going to be overnight. It's going to take, I'd say, probably a good 6 months before you start really seeing the results coming through. So I think be patient. Definitely be patient. Don't stress about it too much.
That's great advice. That's really good advice. So obviously you mentioned the amount of pressure being taken off of your customer service team, which is great, the amount of kind of resource that's being put back into the team as a result of AI being able to handle quite a lot of queries. And that must really help make an internal business case. As you said, like with anything new, you do need to kind of go back and probably justify it internally and make the right case for it. What other kind of tangible metrics do you use to kind of measure the success that you're having there?
For us, it's also looking at customer satisfaction, because ultimately that's why you're implementing this service within a contact team. You want to make sure your customers are still satisfied with what you're implementing, are they getting the results that they want, are they getting the responses that they want as well. So for us, it's looking at customer satisfaction. And we did actually review our whole sort of like reviews afterwards, our customer satisfaction reviews afterwards. So it's not just looking at a basic score, it's getting physical feedback from customers. And it used to be, were you happy with the service, yes or no? And we developed it just a little bit more so we could get more feedback from our customers to understand, were they happy, were they satisfied, was it, easy enough to get hold of an agent, if they were on a chatbot. So I think that's definitely helped for us. I feel also it's, like I say, with AI, people think you're going to put AI in and you're going to then half your staffing team.
Yeah.
I think that's, people think that's how it's going to work. And that's something you've got to get across to the business is, yes, we're going to, implement AI. Over time, naturally, probably, people leave, you may not need to fulfill that role because you know you've increased like 60-70% deflections, and naturally you're probably not going to fulfill you know an agent's role if you don't need to.
Yeah.
But it's again, it's trying to explain to the business that you know we may not be suddenly cutting staffing and saving money that way. However, we are improving customer satisfaction, which improves, you know, customers wanting to come back to us, customers wanting to, you know, purchase in the future. And just looking at that metric alone can be really interesting and can be really good to see. And as well as looking at the usuals and average handling time, you know, customers getting through other, you know, queries quicker, you know, average response time in terms of like an email coming in, instead of it taking 2 days to respond, we're able to respond within a day or within half a day. So there's all these other little metrics that you still need to review, you still need to look at, but there isn't just that one sole area.
Yeah.
You've got to look across the board for it and explain that to the business as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's a nice kind of, if you're looking for a snapshot, how happy your customers are, like that should be a good snapshot for most things, shouldn't
We've
it, really?
We've definitely seen that increase, especially over peak. We used to find over peak, like I say peak, at like Black Friday, Christmas, which is obviously most retailers is their biggest time. We would really hit a low with our, especially our CSAT score, because we do have that as well. And we would hit as low as like below 50%, you know, 40, 50%, which is, you know, it's not great. We found we were able to maintain it this peak just gone. So we were able to stay, because we have over time, we've done other works in the background and increased it to between 70 and 80%. And we were able to maintain that score coming through, which previously we probably wouldn't have been able to. And we have naturally not increased the team. So we thought, we've put in the AI implementation for WhatsApp. So we naturally we would get temps in for peak, and we decided this year we weren't going to do that. We were just gonna, we would have available hours so that if we had sudden surge, we could, you know, ask staffing if they wanted to do overtime, which, you know, a lot of agents more or less like to do. I'd like to say, just with the whole agents just not having that huge massive pressure, you know, we do normally we take Christmas and Boxing Day off, because you know it's nice for the agents and everyone to have a break with their family, and it was nice to come back and not have the massive volumes that can happen. I mean, it can happen when you close down for 1 day, so we do close down for two, and not having to increase the team as much. So again, we were able to then put that budget into developing the AI software, as opposed to having the agents. But then it was seeing that balance of, you know, we didn't have to increase, but we didn't have the huge volumes. We still kept the customers happy. This is how it's working for us.
Yeah. And that sounds like the kind of the modern nuanced reality of kind of AI implementation, but keeping a real focus on, you know, making sure that customer experience is really good quality. And you know, we all know what it's like to come back after Christmas and just have an inconceivable inbox. So, you know, it's incredible to hear anything that helps you get through that absolute chaos of the golden quarter is a no-brainer, isn't it?
And you never know what's going to happen in peak. It could be anything. You know, we could have a massive blizzard and then all deliveries get delayed just before Christmas Day. And you know you're going to get those contacts in, even though no one can get out of their driveway. Customers still expect parcels, you know, at times. So it is good to have that opportunity and that option to be able to pop those messages on. So if customers do come through with, like, where's my order? We can do a nice, you know, we're really sorry, this is the situation, we're getting it to you as quickly as possible. You know, it is managing those expectations for customers as well, and having that option to be able to just log in, you know, update that and get that messaging out to the customers, instead of letting them just wait till, you know, and, you know, if, as they, like you say, the contacts build up and then they get more angry and then they send another email and they get angry again and they send you a WhatsApp and, you know, and then it snowballs, and before you know it, you're at thousands and thousands of contacts that you have to clear down before your next peak period.
Well, on that point, I'm really interested in the concept that actually not only can emerging technologies such as AI kind of help with, you know, the load of work that you have going on in a customer experience, but actually it can increase and improve loyalty. Like, can you tell me a bit more about that? I mean, have you found quantifiably that it has had an impact on people, you know, returning and customer lifetime value, that kind of thing?
It's something we're actually currently looking into. So, like I said, we only launched in the October, and it's trying to obtain that data, and sometimes it can be quite hard to sort of pull out what it is you want to look at. So it is something we are currently still working on, because it is something the business is interested in. So it is what we found then is obviously the customer satisfaction piece, and just being able to report on that area, and the agent satisfaction. We focus on that a lot within our teams as well, because it's not just the customers, you've got to have happy agents, happy customers, you know, vice versa. So for us, it's still working to pull that data out and making it more tangible data as well. Like, does it actually make sense? It's great that you can see your average handling time. It's great that you can see the contacts being deflected. But then it's then working with like your analytics team to see, right, those customers that have come through, can we see that they've, you know, whatever query they've had, we've resolved it, and then they've come back and shopped with us. And that's a piece we're still currently working on to see how that's working. And that's a bigger piece overall within the business that we're looking at. And probably with most retailers as well at the moment is getting absolutely. Those returning customers.
Yeah. And it's a journey, isn't it?
Yes, like, it's a huge journey. Yeah, it's huge.
And it's never over, really, because things change so much constantly.
It changes, and depending what you implement as well, if you've got like reward schemes, if you've got, you know, different offers in stores, and, you know, and we find as well with our children's range, children grow up as well. So how do you get that new generation coming through, and, you know, the new parents coming through? So there's a lot of different elements for, like I say, for a lot of retailers. And it's trying to pull out that tangible data that really tells you a good story as well. So
We're dangerously close to running out of time. However, I have two more questions that I would love to ask you, if you don't mind. So the first is, obviously, as we have just discussed, it is a journey. It's absolutely a journey. But you are, I think, probably at a really healthy pace on that journey. And, you know, it's not too late for other organisations at all. But getting on and moving forward and moving in the right direction is obviously a really a healthy thing to be doing. Yeah. So what advice would you give to other retail leaders who are exploring AI as a concept but aren't really sure where to start, are maybe worried about the idea of it being something interacting with customers, and, you know, basically justifying it internally and gaining some confidence in it, I guess.
I feel for myself, and from a personal level, I've done lots of workshops and talks with other retailers, and I've found it's been really useful for the retailers who are at the beginning of that journey to speak to someone who's on the journey. Not say that, you know, like say, I don't know every aspect of it, but I think it's really good to hear it from someone who's been through it, who's experienced it, and we're still going through, we're still working it through it. So I do feel sometimes a bit of networking can really help, or if you know anyone within your industry who's on that journey, it's really good to go and talk to them, because what you want is you want an honest opinion, you want an honest answer. I think it's so easy to go to the tech companies directly and be like, yeah, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and this is dead easy to implement, and we can do this, and we can link this in, and then it happens, and your system's too old, or, you know, this is happening, you're still on a green screen, and that's not going to work. So I always feel, try and find someone who's on the journey and talk to them. There's been a couple of retailers I've spoken to when I've been at different networking events, and I've been very honest with them, and I've also said to them, also step back, you don't need to do it all. You know, it doesn't have to be everything at once. Just look at what you feel is going to work for your business. Like, where, what area is it that you're trying to, you know, make better? You know, and again, involve your agents or involve your teams. But I do feel, try and speak to someone within the industry who's going through it, or who's, I don't even think, been through it, because there's so much of it happening and so much evolving. But try and find someone who will have an honest opinion and will come out and be like, yeah, this is how we did it, and these are the issues you might face. It's not going to be easy. It's not a walk in the park. But take it slowly, and just small bits at a time. Definitely a small bit.
Perfect. And then finally, looking ahead, I am very fascinated with what you think are some of the most exciting upcoming bits and bobs that will impact the future customer experience in retail. I mean, you said, you know, there's hopefully some really interesting things happening internally. Not going to
pressure on that, because I'm sure that you want to, you know, I'm sure you want to kind of like make sure that they're actually good before you talk
happy
about
with it.
But just in general, what have you seen that you think is really interesting?
What I have seen out there is how you can, AI can help create a seamless omnichannel. We have found within our business, we have our store estate and we have our website, and they're two very separate systems, are two very separate, you know, areas of the business. What is kind of exciting is it does appear that it's going to get easier to link all that area, both areas. So, you know, you can, if you go into store with your order, the teams can see your order, they can see, you know, what they need to refund it. They can, you know, if you've paid by certain payment channels, it's easy enough to refund. You don't always have to send it back. You know, they can update your details for your, if you've got like a, you know, rewards schemes and things like that, it's easy enough to do. And the same with the website. We can't always see if someone's buying online, if they've bought in store. You know, that I know some retailers have that, but we don't. We have quite a number of legacy systems as well. So for me, it's having that one view, that one customer view, and I feel AI is really going to bring that together and make it a consistent service for customers, irrelevant where they're shopping or who they're talking to. They're going to get that consistent personalized service from either a member of staff in store or an agent at our contact center, and that's what makes me quite excited.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, it sounds so simple, doesn't
it
really?
It's really not.
It's actually the kind of Everest for every retailer.
It is, yeah. You think, oh, that would be so amazing. And people think it's so easy. And you do, as a customer, you go in the store and you think they can see every bit of data on you. And, and it's really, there's very few retailers that, you know, can do that. So, yeah, it would be great to just have that a full one view of the customer wherever they're shopping.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
And that would have an immeasurable impact on customer experience.
Hugely.
It'd be incredible. And not only kind of working backwards from a customer perspective, obviously a store really knowing you is gonna help massively, but also again it would be a huge dive in the right direction for everyone who is interested in that customer experience and engaging with that customer. Do you think that it's something that is really on the horizon for most retailers? I mean, do you think that AI is kind of tantalizingly close to being able to do that for us?
I do believe it's there. I do believe it's there, and I do believe more retailers are looking into it and probably willing to invest in it. I feel having that seamless service through whatever channel can help build customer loyalty, which is really hard at the moment. People go on about customer loyalty, and it's really hard. Customers have such choice nowadays, so try and keep a customer and keep them returning to you is so much harder now than it ever used to be. And I do feel that it is there, and a lot of businesses are considering it and know really if we want to move forward and we want to, you know, maintain the high street and keep the retailers alive, it is something that has to be looked into. It's definitely something that investment has to be considered. But it's going to have to be in small steps. It's not going to be all at once, all at the same time. It's, you know, bit by bit. We don't want to scare anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Zara, it has been such an incredible pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there you have it, a really authentic take on what AI really means for customer experience. And of course, if you want to find out more, then Zendesk is the place to go. Feel free to pop them a message, search zendesk.co.uk, and of course you'll be able to speak to them and find out what's possible for you and your business. I very much hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to welcoming you to another episode of Retail Unpacked again soon.